This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I do like, I like that beat. That's good. I like that beat a
lot. This is from Homestar Runner. If anyone has any idea what I'm talking about, tweet it at DerekKramer49 when Twitter finally gets fixed. But this is what I'd like to call peak millennial brain rot. That's the only way you could properly explain Homestar Runner. But they did a little gig, like a little gag back in like, I think it was the 2000s. But there was this like, hey, we're going to make a flash internet thing based on a buddy cop.
I like it. And I like it.
The name was Dangeresque.
So what do we got? We got Jones and Kramer. Kramer and Jones hanging with you here.
Yeah, we got Kramer and Jones.
And an extended Extra Point show as we go into the Memorial Day weekend. No Sabres Live or One Bills Live today.
If it's Kramer and Jones, is it Hot Jones?
No. Just Kramer and Jones. Kramer and Jones. That's the nice thing with my last
name. Hot Jones is a drink, though.
Hot Jones is a drink, but that's the nice thing with my last name. I have relatives everywhere, and it's synonymous. Everyone knows a Jones. You do. Everybody does.
Everyone does.
And it just works. It flows pretty easily. It's super boring. It's super boring, but it works.
Shut up, Joe Ennis.
That works, actually. That works. I like that. That works. Like yesterday, we heard on Shelton Bulldog about Burt Jones.
The last thing I thought you'd reference today is Red versus Blue.
Red versus Blue.
Again, like millennial brain rot.
No one knows what any of us are talking about.
This is where I live.
No one knows anything we're talking about.
The inside of my brain is Homer with the like the monkey clashing cymbals in there. Mm-hmm. That is me 24/7. We got to realize that, right? Like sometimes I do act professional and I do know what I'm talking about on this station, but the rest of the way, man, I'm fighting with myself every day just to not say something stupid.
Especially on a Friday, right, going into a three-day weekend.
Yeah, I'm fighting with myself every day.
That's going to get you.
That's really what it is.
We do, though, have what should be a wonderful sports weekend coming up.
Yes, we
starting tomorrow, but realistically tonight as well with some of the playoffs. But tomorrow, we've got the NLL final between the Buffalo Bandits and the Saskatchewan Rush.
Yep.
In Buffalo. Mid-afternoon game should be awesome. Hopefully the weather gets a little bit better. That should be great. Game's going to be right here on WGR tonight. We're going to have Rochester Americans in a do-or-die game against Laval. We'll be hearing from Paul Hamilton at 2 on that. We'll also be hearing from Trevor Hauer on the Bandits at 1:30. I know he joins you and Joe Calley a lot on Saturdays. That should be awesome. It's also a big race weekend as well, as we have both the Monaco Grand Prix and the Indy 500 on Sunday. So that should be awesome. And then, of course, it is just Memorial Day weekend. The weather should get better. It should get better.
It is because Mike Schoep says this every year.
I know.
That there's never a bad weather day for Memorial Day. This weekend is testing it.
He had to defend it a little bit yesterday.
But, like, if he's right, it's just doctrine at this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this weekend is going to test it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to test that theory's resolve. Because, like, does the bad weather move along into Memorial Day? Does it just, or does it just, you're straight line. Suddenly, quick left, and it avoids the Monday. And then
right, and like in particular, and then Tuesday Monday is good.
And then Tuesday, we're back into the – if that happens, if like it's crummy Saturday, crummy Sunday, great Monday, and then crummy Tuesday, I'm just thinking it's written somewhere that like – it's on an ancient tablet that Memorial Day is never allowed to have bad weather.
Yep. Just from the start of time. No. That day in particular – that stays good.
Like they're carving the ancient stone, and it's like, what's Memorial Day? We'll figure that out.
Just know it's beautiful every time.
It's beautiful every time, though, okay?
I do have a Memorial Day party I'm going to on Sunday, so I hope we have good weather that day. We'll see, though.
I don't really do the Memorial Day party.
I haven't really either. For me, it's just been a good, long three-day weekend. You get to recharge your batteries.
Sometimes we've had to come into work.
Sometimes, but for the most part, it's recharge your batteries. Nice weekend. The weather is getting better, even if it's not perfect. You know the weather's getting better. That's really always what it's been for me. It's never been like 4th of July. I usually go to a family party.
Yes. Like, I feel like the theme of Memorial Day is like that's where I feel like it's a little tacky to have people congregating in that sense, I guess. You know, but, you know, it's an extra day off, so people do what you want to do with it. I'm not going to tell you.
Love it.
I'm just not doing it myself. That's all. That's fair. we're gonna have a barbecue for Memorial Day. I'm good. It feels weird to
me. See, no, if I'm getting free food, I'm gonna be there.
It feels weird to me. That's all.
Free food, I'm there. Do you want me to bring something? That's where it's like, are you sure you want me in particular bringing something? I cannot cook. I mentioned this yesterday. I do not have the culinary touch that my brother has. I simply do not have it.
Okay. Do you have basic cooking skills?
I mean, sure.
That
yeah.
Keep you alive?
Yeah.
Yes. I would hope so, because you're alive.
But then do you want me to bring something? No.
No, that's you go to the store and get something.
Oh, well, yeah.
Come on. Just because you can't cook doesn't mean you can't bring something. Don't weasel your way out of your obligation.
I feel bad when all I do is like bring like a big bag of chips and napkins and plates.
No, ready? Bring something. That's what these grocery stores do nowadays. They make dishes so you don't have to. Do you want to bring like a wing dip, for example? Guess what? You could stop by your local local Schweggies, and
it's right there.
And it's there. You could buy it. It's ready. All you have to do is like throw it in the microwave for a minute.
Yeah, but that's why I just ask, what do you want me to bring?
But that's
I get ahead of it, and I'm like, yes. Do you want me to bring a dip? Cool.
Yes, but also
do you want me to bring like the essentials where it's like, hey, someone has to do
but
it.
But also at the same time, you can have full autonomy on it. Even if you don't have the culinary genius to make something yourself. Because the grocery stores nowadays have thought about you.
they've
thought about people
thought about
like
me.
You.
Yeah.
And
I'll get there.
That's how it goes.
I'll eventually get there. Probably not. I like eating out too much. And my girlfriend, she's the one. She loves cooking. She loves doing that. The metabolism will slow eventually,
yes.
Eric. We do not have to rush it. We do not have to rush that.
I know, I'm just envious.
My metabolism will eventually slow. But enough on that.
I'm envious on what I used to have.
We'll be enjoying Memorial Day talk throughout the rest of the day. We'll be on from 12 to 3 leading into Shope and the Bulldog. I do, though, want to talk about last night. Watching the NHL playoffs and even the NBA, going from the high highs that was Knicks Pacers into yesterday where the Carolina Panthers, I mean,
try again.
Carolina Hurricanes, excuse me. I guess congratulations, more like the Carolina Panthers. I guess good on showing up. You put your jerseys on.
Thanks for winning the Metro playoff.
But that series is, I'm entertained by Florida. I like watching them. I'm fascinated by their build and how many things they do well. But it's not competitive. They scored a minute 10 into the game to make it 1-0, and they ultimately win 5-0.
You mean to tell me that the team that has regularly had problems with consistent goaltending and the inability to retain star talent is having a problem in the Eastern Conference Final again?
It's stunning.
I'm surprised. Meanwhile, it's Memorial Day weekend. This happens to Carolina every time, and they do not change anything. And ultimately, it's on Brendan Moore.
Yeah, we talk a lot on Toronto not changing anything. Brendan Shanahan basically fired for
Carolina,
keeping this going too long. Carolina's the same thing.
Carolina's the same thing that is blessed with not having to deal with the Atlantic Division.
Or the Toronto media,
because,
I guess.
Because when they deal not even the Toronto media, mm-hmm. when they deal with the Atlantic Division in the postseason, they get wiped.
Yeah.
Unequivocally.
Yeah, as Sabres fans...
The series are never close at this point when they show up.
That's the thing. As Sabres fans, we watch Carolina and go, oh, we can't get past this team. Like they just bulldoze Buffalo all the time. When they go up to the top end of the Atlantic Division, the teams they will play in the playoffs, you're right. It's not competitive.
It's not competitive. They are not good enough, and they've never been good enough. And the thing is that they get away with it because the Metro, as of late, because we did a whole segment on this yesterday on the Extra Point Show, the Metro is not good.
And it has been for a while.
And if you pull an upset, for example, on the team that every analytics person saw coming with Washington,
mm-hmm.
then congratulations, you made it to the third round. But once again, you show to be pretenders. And the hater in me couldn't be more pleased. Please keep spinning the tires, Carolina, because you're clearly doing nothing to retain superstars. You traded Nachos. You acquired Rantanen, and then you got rid of him because he didn't want to be here, because he doesn't want to play this style.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Jarvis is going to do this in a couple years. The only player that you have worth a damn as a superstar talent is Pesci.
Yeah.
Aho is good. Zetchnikov's good. Both were seen as potentially ascending superstars, but they're watered down by Carolina's style of hockey.
I do also like Jacob Slavin. That's more from the Four Nations.
Oh, that's right.
But
it's Slavin, not Pesci. Sorry, excuse me. But that's the thing. It's Slavin, it's Jarvis, and you're going to lose them because this whole being this... Yeah, everyone's good. Roster clearly isn't working. The Maple Leafs are the other end of the extreme where they have superstar talent and it's just, the mix is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina is, you don't have anyone that can move the needle for you in your forward core. And I mean really move it. Rantanen shows up in Carolina, as a matter of fact, and he's awful.
Yeah.
The same guy who is on another tear in Dallas... That's the guy you couldn't get going in Carolina? It's a you problem. They need to change something. And shame on me for a year ago thinking when the Sabres moved on from Granato. I'm like, maybe Carolina moves on from Brendan Moore. I wouldn't mind having him.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
For thinking Carolina would get rid of him?
No, shame on me for thinking Brendan Moore is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because at that point, like, Tage Thompson ends up playing as, like, a defensive forward strictly.
There it is. Well, he's got the size.
That's exactly what Brendan Moore would do.
I know.
That's the problem. So shame on me for that one. But, like, yeah, he's good enough to get you to the playoffs, but he's never good enough to get you through the playoffs. And there's a comment I can say that will make me want to take a shower after saying it. The Bills have the same sort of like problem breaking through the conference, like getting a conference championship under their belt. But they are not the same.
Correct. Yes.
It is one game, to be fair. But the Bills always look better in their showings than Carolina is. Like, the worst part is Carolina has multiple attempts to crack at looking like a competent hockey team. And two games at home, you are boat raced out of your own building. Embarrassingly, you have not won a conference final game since 2006. Thanks for that trauma, by the way. So you deserve to go 0-14.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows you're not worthy. And you need to start something over. And at some point, when a team plateaus, even successful ones, when you plateau, when you reach what clearly is the limit, teams are not afraid to move on. And that is exactly what's going to happen this offseason in Carolina because everyone's going to look at.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
They did it again. They laid down and died in the conference final again. They laid down in the second round and died again, like in years past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are just not good enough. They need to break through the glass ceiling. Something has to change. Because we've tried new things. We've tried a better goaltender with Freddie Anderson.
Oh, boy. Yeah, last night.
But Anderson's an improvement on what they've had for years.
Yeah, usually it was great defense, bad goalie.
Bad goal. As a matter of fact, they had a lengthy playoff drought of their own because Cam Ward had one good year.
Yeah.
And then he was unmitigated trash the rest of the way through. Not trash, but like, he wasn't good.
Certainly not good, yeah.
There were some seasons where they were trashed here, but like, they always needed the save and they couldn't get it. So the beginning of Brendan Moore's coaching tenure is, oh, you just do not have the goaltending. Cam Ward's not up to snuff, you're not making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they changed that. And it's like, oh, Peter Mrazek for a year, or like you just add a random goaltender to do this. I don't understand why they decide to keep spinning the tires now, because it is ultimately, it's going to fall on the coach. We're done. You've had your chances. And that is something that the Bills could face ultimately one day is, all right, we've changed everything, but like stuff in the front office.
Yeah, like now it's,
Now it might be time to go.
I'm glad you brought up it happens to good teams too, because for me it's always pitched as the message gets stale. You got to try something different. It happens. It happened in Philadelphia with Andy Reid. It ultimately happened with Bill Belichick in New England. The message got stale. You had to try something different, and you move on. It sucks. It hurts. It usually is the immediate signifier of, okay, that era is done.
Yes.
We are now officially, even if there are some players there, it does feel like a significant shift, and it is pretty stressful. I mean, we've talked to enough Bills fans over the years, a group that wants McDermott gone, and typically the group that doesn't want McDermott gone, a lot of the reasoning there that I hear constantly is the fear of what comes next. You know, a lot of it is bringing up the drought and going, well, do we want to go back to the basement? And a part of me can understand that fear, and Carolina maybe has that same fear of, what, like, we have a good coach. We're making the playoffs every year. They are winning playoff series. I mean, it's not like...
It has more to do with your playoff format in the NHL than it does...
Than it does anything else.
Anything else. It is a further indictment on the thing that I had a problem with yesterday.
Yeah.
Which is, the NHL is currently giving a ticket to the conference finals for an entire division that is not worthy of it. Carolina doesn't get out of the second round if they have to face a better team. If they have to face a Toronto... If they have to face a Tampa,
they probably lose.
they lose.
I mean, because this series with Florida is uncompetitive.
It's bad.
You brought up the goaltending.
You're telling me that the Toronto Maple Leafs, who had this team in seven games, after laying down and dying at points, they took it to seven.
Mm-hmm.
I have more faith in Toronto to beat the Florida Panthers than I do than the Carolina Hurricanes to even be remotely competitive in a game at this point.
You look at the stats though. You brought up goaltending already. Anderson faced 16 shots. That's it. He let in 5 goals.
And this happens to the Hurricanes.
I mean that's incredible how inept that is. And again, I mean Florida scores what, 1:10 into the game, something like that. It was immediate. And both of these games, by the way, Florida's on the road.
Yeah.
In what is considered a very, very good crowd in Carolina. It didn't matter. Doesn't matter. And it was the same with Toronto.
Carolina's
great Scotiabank crowd.
Carolina's a great home team. Except now, when they are not worthy of where they are at.
Yeah, just really just kind of a lifeless series there. I'm hoping for better for game 2 tonight with the Oilers and the Stars.
By the way,
that started well and got away from the Oilers early. But
Carolina's home record, by the way, this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Oh, tell me they're 500.
No.
Oh, they're incredible?
Zach, they were the second best in the National Hockey League.
There it is. Yeah.
Second to the LA Kings at 31-6-4. The Carolina Hurricanes were 31-9-1 at home in the regular season.
Yeah, we give a lot of crap to Toronto. I think part of it because we're right there. We hear about it.
It's also because it is Toronto, and it's the star players.
Well, but that's also where the media plays into it too. Of like, Toronto's always going to be, you know, the eye of hockey is going to be on them. But Carolina, almost to a certain extent, has been saved by they've been not the belle of the ball. They've been the bridesmaid of disastrous playoff performances by Eastern Conference teams.
And the Carolina Hurricanes also, heading into this series, lost 2 games in the playoffs, both on the road.
That's right. They were undefeated until game 1 of this series.
They were 5-0 at home. And then again, they just show that they are not worthy of being here again. And it has to do with, fix your NHL playoff format. You need Dallas and Edmonton to be a series now.
Yeah, because the Eastern Conference, 10-2 is the goal difference through 2 games.
If this is not a series out west, you have a legitimate problem. You need to fix the playoff format.
Yeah. The NBA having a bit of a similar issue. We did already see game 1 of Indiana and New York. And I mentioned that, that was a highlight for what has been very good
playoffs. Let's hope that stays hot.
Hope that stays hot, because Minnesota also looks completely outclassed by Oklahoma City. Last night, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, in his first game after winning the league MVP, his first honor at 26 years old, he puts up 38 points in that performance to go up 2-0.
Ready? Here's the difference. Like you say, how Minnesota's just not in the same class at this point right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the one seed of the NBA kind of acting like it right now.
Yeah, and Minnesota's star player is 23 years old.
And while Florida probably should have kept playing their players to end the season to move up in the standings, they were not finishing as the top in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. And we also thought, maybe like they're resting Matthew Tkachuk to see if he'll be actually healthy to go in the playoffs. He's kind of useless.
Did have a goal and assist though last night.
Yes, but like that's how bad Carolina is.
I know.
The man was actually invisible against Toronto.
He's not doing much.
And looks like he's not skating well. He is fighting it still. And you're letting that get 2 points on you now in a game. And it's like it's pathetic. But in the NBA, that is the best team in basketball acting like the best team in basketball.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. If you haven't watched the NBA up to this point, like Oklahoma City has been the best team in basketball pretty much from the tip of game 1. They are a historically good defense that are getting reviews like the Bad Boy Pistons. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won the MVP. They've dominated the playoffs. They had to go 7 against Denver, but that was more just Nikola Jokic is an all-time player dragging Denver.
Matter of fact, this conference final in the West, it is between 2 teams in the same division, by the way. What a thought. Gary?
Yeah, crazy.
Oh my God.
Crazy. I'm not going to lie. We took a call earlier this week.
Oh my God.
I have thought more and more about that 1-16.
It's spicy. I love it.
It's different, and I think it would be good. It'll never happen, but I kind of like it.
It costs would be why. Costs and traveling scheduling. That's fine, and I understand that, but it would be spicy. But it does lean into the bigger problem of you need your best teams to be your best teams at the end. And year after year, as of late, it's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have to pray that Edmonton and Dallas is a good series.
Because right now...
Otherwise, you've wasted your best series last round.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're filling in for Sabres Live and One Bills Live today as we head into this Memorial Day weekend. Haven't even gotten to maybe the topic of the day. We'll launch that here as we head into Phase 3 of Bills offseason workouts. They'll have OTAs May 27th to June 12th. So, of course, that's starting in next week. That's going to allow teams 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 drills, and that'll conclude with mandatory minicamp. We wanted to talk a little bit Bills because we haven't done that a lot this week. Me and you, we've talked a lot of playoffs, a lot of the hockey stuff.
Yep.
But what position group, now that the offseason has settled, now that the roster is set, what position group on the Bills are you most interested in going into the season? We'll give our thoughts and hopefully hear yours as well after this quick timeout. You're listening to WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
They told you what they think of Keon Coleman by their approach at receiver this offseason. They drafted him at 33. They're expecting him to be a bona fide starter, somebody that they can rely upon. The guy that we saw in that Seattle game and that stretch of games for about 3 weeks is what they're hoping to see over the course of a 17-game schedule. If he turns into that, I think that lessens the importance on Dalton Kincaid taking a huge step.
Matt Parrino earlier today with our own Jeremy White. Parrino, Bills beat reporter at Syracuse.com, also host of the Shout podcast. I've said something similar about Keon. Not necessarily that the Bills have told you what they think about him about the offseason. I like that point as well, but more to the idea of before the injury,
he was starting to find
Keon Coleman was starting to figure it out. And so I do wonder, while yes, the Bills brass, I think both McDermott and Bean maybe went a little bit far at times with what they were saying about him because then they wanted to pull it all back. You look at the games before he got hurt, and Derek, me and you have talked about this. Just going to the New York Jets game, gets 4 targets, Three catches, nothing crazy, 26 yards. But then Tennessee, seven targets, four catches, 125 yards. The Seattle game, which Matt brings up, and I think that is still easily Coleman's best game of his career up to this point. Seven targets, five catches, 70 yards, one touchdown. He also drew a penalty, drew a pass interference penalty, great in blocking. The one touchdown is kind of like the synonymous of what everyone wanted from Keon, which is Allen can just see the mismatch, throw up a jump ball, and Keon comes down with it pretty effortlessly. I mean, that's the guy you wanted. And then the injury happens against Miami. And then he's inactive for four games. And it never gets better. He does end up having 10 targets against the Patriots.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but even in that Seattle game, doesn't he have like a simple play that should have been made and he drops it?
He may have.
On one of those seven targets, that's what that was. And then the other one was he drew a PI call.
Well, one of them I do know was they first went to the jump ball, doesn't come down with it, and they just tried again.
Yes.
And then it works.
But yeah, I remember that happening where like, computer audio's on.
I mean, for me, he, and also you even look at the snap percentages. In the Houston and the Jets game before he kind of breaks out, 62, 63%. Then all of a sudden, 74%, 82%, 78%. And in the Miami game, he has 78%. He's hurt for most of that game with the wrist injury. But then it dips, 62,
yeah, he gets 66. Hurt right at the end of that game, and it is unfortunate.
And then we get to the two games at the end of the year where they're not meaningless, but the Jets game is a blowout. The Patriots game, the backups play for most of it, and that's where he gets 90%, 97% in terms of snap percentages. But the playoffs, Denver, 60%. Baltimore, 65%. Kansas City, 53.4. This is in terms of offensive snap count percentage. He was developing exactly how they wanted. That Seattle game was the first time I thought, he could be an X for them. Maybe not an elite X receiver. He's not somebody that I think eventually will become, 100 catches, 1,400
yards. Like your bona fide number one receiver.
Yeah. I don't know if that's ever going to be him, but I also don't know if the Bills actually want that. I think the Bills do want the cookie jar full. Allen always has options. He has a ton of guys he trusts. I think that's what they want, which is fine. That works for me as long as those guys are all good. But that was the Seattle game. That was the one where I thought, okay, they got something in Coleman. They've got something.
It's that you didn't make a bad pick at the selection.
Right.
Like, yeah, you saw Ladd McConkey end up going off, but it's like, no, you shouldn't miss the words Xavier Worthy at all at that point. That Seattle game, I'm like, yes, like they made the right call.
And it was even with he still has issues with separation percentages. He is still very low. That I think is a big reason why I just don't see him being the number one X receiver that's getting the 12 to 1400 yards.
Right.
He doesn't separate an elite level. He may develop to where he separates at a league average level. And then you add in the size, the athleticism, him at the catch point and stuff like that.
If he's stronger with his hands this year, look out. Because then it'll be Josh Allen will throw this in a tight window where,
right?
Yeah, he's not separated from the defensive back, but he also has no business being able to catch this football, and here we are.
And here we are.
Because that ball has no business being thrown. And that's the kind of player that Josh Allen also is. If you are strong with the hands to attack at point, he'll throw that ball to you even if you're covered.
Gabe Davis. I mean, he made a career off of throwing tight window passes right on the sideline to Gabe Davis. That was Gabe Davis's elite trait, if you ask me. His knack for the sideline catch was absurd, and Allen and him took advantage of it regularly. If Keon is a guy that he can hit around the field, because I think they also, by the way, should use him more as a big slot at times as well, because that's when he was coming out of Florida State, that was the thought, is that is maybe where he's best. I'd like to see them move him around a lot more. We'll see if they end up doing it, but ultimately he does end his rookie year. 13 games played, 57 targets, 29 catches, 556 yards, and four touchdowns. The wide receiver room is absolutely going to be one of the most fascinating on the Bills to watch. It is year number two of this Everyone Eats. They've added a few new guys with the likes of Josh Palmer. I'm a big Elijah Moore fan, but they've also brought back some of the key ingredients with the likes of Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, we've already mentioned, and You know, KJ Hamler still on the roster. Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel, a healthy beginning of the year for him will be huge, I think. Because at first, like the beginning of the year, yeah, it's the turf toe injury, but also, man, I think it's because of that turf toe injury, I kept getting infuriated with his play calling aspect of Joe Brady's only giving this man bubble screens and
it's kind of about
exclusively it.
It's kind of about it.
Or like it's we're going to send him on a reverse for a play or something. It's like, no, stop window dressing him. If he's not good to go, he's not good to go. Stop trying to use him in a play where you're typically supposed to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't move right, don't give him the heaviest burden of, all right, you caught the ball, now it's all yards after catch, buddy.
Yeah.
Have fun. And at the beginning of the season, he indeed did not have fun.
No, and it was frustrating. I mean, we spent most of the beginning of last year. I remember me and you were sitting in this room talking to Sal about it, already regretting his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And just being like, it was starting to become, and maybe it still is, they're missing on free agent wide receiver acquisitions. They're not working like they did in 2019 when they brought in Brown and Beasley, and you were just like, oh, epiphany. Like these guys are perfect. Brown has a massive jump in his career statistics. He goes from a guy where you're like, man, maybe a three, could be an okay two, to like, no, he's very clearly a great two. It just happened to be at the end of his career. Cole Beasley gets an all-pro nod as a slot receiver. We're far from those days now. We're more into the Trent Sherfield and Deonte Hardy and Jamison Crowder. You know,
you hit with Isaiah McKenzie.
You did hit for a little bit, but once you moved him into the more typical slot role, you're like, oh hell, this is not working. Like he has got his role. And so that's where knowing Bean has put a lot of his chips into the Joshua Palmer basket as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say the wide receiver room is the one I'm most curious to see and to get reports on and all that. It's top three.
Yeah.
And it's probably not three either. It's probably number two.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, and yep, there's a certain audio clip that will shine a bigger light on it, but it does have to do with, if there is a regression here, are you going to fix it in season like you did last year?
You kind of almost expect it, right?
Because last year, you had to do that. The room was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland started out so poorly that you're like, okay, there's a very cost-controlled acquisition that we can have here. Sure, Jets, you go get Davante Adams. We're going to get the cheaper option here and pay less to do it. Ultimately, the trade really doesn't work out for either team in that scenario.
Yeah, the Bills would have loved to have had that third-round pick.
Well, not even that. It's just you would have liked to have a little bit more production from Cooper.
Mm-hmm. He did have flash plays, though.
He did have flash plays, including his first game as a Bill.
Yeah.
Where he doesn't know the playbook, gives a little hand signal.
Is it Keon that points him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keon points him, and like there's a hand signal, Keon points him, and Allen just finds him on a slant touchdown. Take that, Titans. It's also because it's the Titans.
Of course.
But, again, you had flash plays. Obviously, the pitch back, everyone will know fondly. That's a Amari Cooper play right there.
That might be the play that like forces Bills fans to remember he was ever on the team.
Yes.
It's the pitch back against San Francisco in the snow.
It is the unhinged idea of pitching back in the snow.
That might be the one where everyone's like, oh yeah, Amari Cooper played.
On a ball that was hilariously behind, he reels it in.
Yeah.
For a guy who throughout his career has had some of the case of the dropsies,
mm-hmm.
He reels that ball in and then goes, all right, I see Alan calling for this thing here.
So good.
So you would have liked to see more from that, but the acquisition did change the dynamic for the better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's inarguable that when they added Cooper, the passing offense,
it came back.
Absolutely got better. It came back. It was able to actually
teams
be a function of the team.
The name Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And there is none of that again this year. There is no big name that teams are going to respect or roll to.
No.
Are you going to be able to do it again if this happens again? And it better not happen again because, well, you magnified it by saying words.
Mm-hmm. very
putting a lot of eggs into the Josh Palmer basket. Yep, saying some enthusiastic things.
Yes. Like, you shined a spotlight on it that you really didn't need to. With the reaction, it just, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, quite frankly, you shouldn't have to deal with, the extra chatter about it. We'll see if he's right. I hope he is.
Is that the room you're most curious to see? To start getting reports on?
No.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know why? I am actually going to give you an answer that you're not ready for. Defensive tackle. You grab two assets there.
Oh, see, I was just going to say, spoiler, I'm saying the entire defensive line.
Oh.
Just the entire defensive line.
So you said an answer I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle in particular for me, because that draft class was already so, like, I was already so keen on the defensive tackle class that I got legitimately upset when Miami took Kenneth Grant. That was the kind of love I had for this defensive tackle class. Like, I see prospects going, and I'm like, oh, it hurts my soul.
Like, no, not him, not him.
Not him, not him either. I want all of them. Can I get, like, 16 D-tackles on a roster?
Did you end up taking two, though?
Did you end up taking two? And it's going to be interesting to see where Sanders, who is the smaller player, is the better run defender, and Walker, who is the bigger body, has more pass rush moves.
And maybe has oogles of potential, but was dealing with a broken bone in his back.
And hopefully they're able to just let him get right and deal with that, and you get yourself healthy, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You also look at, this team needs something more from the middle. You needed more from Ed Oliver, even, more times than not. The AFC Championship game is where we finally saw Ed Oliver being Ed Oliver for the first time really all season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was, like, there were a couple games that were splashed in there, and some of it was like, the playoffs was where, like, Ed Oliver started to wake up again.
But for the most part, last year was very frustrating.
We even got some audio clips of Ed Oliver's Ed Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are hearing the chatter. No, he's still here. He's still fresh. And I think the AFC Championship game was his best game.
He's the guy I undoubtedly believe. If you get
someone next to him.
Yeah.
To help take some of the attention away. He is a problem. But on a defensive line where there's no real star pass rushers either, he is the guy you have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just call it what it is. He is not Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald is a one of one.
It's a tough career comp for him, or a tough player comp for him when he's coming out of Houston.
It's because he was smaller, but then Aaron Donald suddenly decided, no, I'm going to be like the best defensive tackle in recent history.
Yeah.
Maybe ever.
Defensive tackle, he's got a really strong argument.
He's got a strong argument, actually. Like, when Ed Oliver gets drafted with the player comp, then Aaron Donald goes, no, I'm actually just going to be like a GOAT. And Ed Oliver still is a very good player that can be great. But great does not mean Aaron Donald.
Yeah, no. No, no, no.
Ed Oliver gets drafted and Aaron Donald goes, I'm now a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, he was incredible.
I'm practicing with my trainer and he's got knives on his hands and I got to swat it away. Else I'm getting stabbed.
He was incredible.
Like, that's the training the man did.
But what is frustrating with Oliver and why, and we got to hit our time out here, so real quick, it's because of the 2023 season, I think, for me, is why.
Yes.
I think there is something in there with Oliver that if you get a good defensive tackle next to him, because we saw what happens when Daquan Jones was next to him. Jones was having a great season alongside with that Oliver, but he suffers an injury in Jacksonville. He's never really the same, and Oliver kind of has to, you know, piecemeal together with other defensive tackles. But ultimately, the season doesn't work out last year. But 2023, 9.5 sacks. I mean, he was an animal at the defensive tackle position. Pressures, QB rushes, everything. And I think that's what they've needed. They scored the second most points in the NFL last year per average at 30.9, I believe. They needed help on the defense. And yes. And that's, for me, is when I look at the offense and even the Palmer stuff, analytics tells me Josh Palmer is going to get open quick and a lot.
Right.
And having the MVP quarterback, he should be able to hit him. Khalil Shakir is good. Keon Coleman, I'm hoping for that second
year
job.
One of those signings where it makes sense of like, mm-hmm. yeah, you're going to see a number bump with him.
The defense is the unknown. They made a lot of moves to boost it. And I'm going to be curious what media members are saying when the pads start getting put on for training camp, what coaches are saying during OTAs and such, and mandatory mini camp, and who's popping, who's starting and such. I think it's going to be really, really interesting to see what goes on really with that defensive line group more than anything. 803-0550, the number to call. Which of the Bills' position groups are you most interested in seeing as we get closer and closer to the start of training camp, mandatory minicamp, with phase three of the Bills' offseason workout program beginning next week? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, filling in for Sabres Live and One Bills Live today, and you're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, filling in for Sabres Live and One Bills Live. We're on today from 12 to 3, talking little Bills, little playoff action in the NHL, NBA. Big day today, though, in the world of sports. Derek, you brought this up in the break. You wanted to mention this as well.
I
wholeheartedly agree.
I'm fairly upset about this mm-hmm. overall. Episode 4,953 of Around the Horn is the final episode of Around the Horn, and it makes me sad because of the fact that I loved that show growing up as a kid, but also now as a media member and an adult.
You have more an appreciation.
It's not even just more of an appreciation. It is, quite frankly, I think it's the last elite programming that they have at ESPN that is going out the door. NFL Live is saved because Mina Kimes and Dan Orlovsky know ball, and they talk with respect for their peers.
I'll give Pardon the Interruption.
Pardon the Interruption is is great, but it's also it's also I don't watch that one as often.
Totally
even
understand.
Though Tony Kornheiser is awesome
mm-hmm.
as a personality, Michael Wilbon, I love both of those guys' personalities too. It's just mm-hmm. I never watched it as much.
Yeah,
Kornheiser always waving the cannon flag at the end.
I love it.
It's a great bit.
It is a great bit.
Like Woody Page with the blackboard.
That was going to be one of my questions.
The chalkboard, absolutely.
With Around the Horn, the last show today, do you have like your favorite person? Because for me, it is
my favorite. It's Reale.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's Reale.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Reale is one of the nicest people that you'll see in media. There was, as a matter of fact, like in their farewell tour, someone is outside on the pier with a sign, and Reale before the show runs outside and brings the man into the studio for the show. It is one of the coolest things you'll ever see. It's like the saying, like, never meet your heroes, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely disproving that 1,000%. Always meet your heroes, because Tony Reale goes out to the pier to grab this guy and walk him in, and it's basically, you want to hang around for the show today.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it on video, and it's awesome. It's one of my favorite things that I saw. And that's upon the show's ending. But you get the emergence of new figures in media.
Yeah.
Like Amina Kime. She starts out with Around the Horn. Pablo Torre gets a little bit of Around the Horn action, and then along with Lebatard. Or
Marcel-Louis Jacques. He's gone on there a lot.
Our friend Marcel-Louis Jacques became a staple. Emily Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. Courtney Cronin as well.
Like, there's so many of those.
That's the funny thing. Like, you think about so many members have been on that show. So many.
And the thing is that some of them became ESPN personalities mm-hmm. down the line. But it all starts with the presentation and really the wacky scoring system of Tony Reale, who really is just like, he's the listener who then goes, okay, that's a good point.
Here's good argument.
I'm going to give you some points. And depending on how much of a argument that you're making in favor, you can make that score go higher. You can even lose a couple points if you start to lose them.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it was also, they were all journalists
trying to be journalists, and it was never a hot takey show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I loved about Around the Horn the most, is that it is authentic. It is genuine. And it starts with reality. The kind of person that he is reflects, and the warmth that he gives to the listener base every day that he was in there allows for that show to be real and to be authentic. And now I have probably going in its spot another debate show where they're just going to scream at each other and say takes that they probably don't believe.
Yep, but they know it'll get clicks on social media and what have you. It is incredibly frustrating.
And that's the problem with society as a whole today, is that we don't respect the journalistic integrity of shows like and Around the Horn anymore, so they don't get those ratings. And it just – that's the part of it to me that really – like, and the complaints of like, oh, the show's too woke. Yeah, it's on ESPN. Why is that one dying?
Yeah.
Like, why has it got to be this one?
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about woke in sports, guess what? It's still around.
It's in, like, all of them.
It's in all of them. It's okay.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just Around the Horn, a staple for 23 years, 5 o'clock.
Yep.
So I'm definitely going to try to catch that so that I see it one more time there. And the last paper toss from Tony Reale.
803-0550, the number to call. Hour number two will roll along after a quick timeout. Hope you stick around. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.